This conference will now be recorded.
Good afternoon, folks. It's 5 p.m. Tuesday, February the 9th, 2021. We'll go ahead and call City Council meeting in session here. The meeting agenda, we start out with an invocation and a Pledge of Allegiance. I'll lead with the invocation this evening. Pledge of Allegiance will be by Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist. Join us if you'd like. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to us. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy in this city and the state and in this nation. And Father, we just pray that you'd be with us this evening in the decisions we make about our city. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just join me in our pledge to our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in honoring our state flag.
Honor under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Next item on the agenda is a roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem.
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one.
Jennifer McCann, place one, is present.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place three.
This is Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place three, present.
Thank you. Linda Nash, place four.
Linda Nash, place four, present.
Thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five.
Jody Nicholas, place five, present.
Thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. And we do have a quorum for our meeting. Next item is item number four, mayoral proclamations and presentations. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item is number five, consent items. Number one, discuss and consider approving the minutes of the meeting held on January 26th, 2021, and take the appropriate action. Do I have a motion? Councilmember Fontaine.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I would like to move to approve the minutes.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes. Okay.
For a second, I have to make a note here. Okay, Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I would vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item on the agenda, item number six, presentations by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code, section 551.042 prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. And as we start out, we do have a green sheet. Agenda item is Car Wash Philip Suoka, 200 East Robin Lane, Harker Heights. And is he present or is he on the phone?
Mr. Philip Suoka, if you are present telephonically, please unmute your mic at this time. If you're a telephone caller, you can press star six.
Hello?
Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed. Next item number seven, public hearings. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item number eight, old business. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item number nine, item number one, under new business. I'll go ahead and read this. Okay. Discuss and consider approving a request for a contract.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, just wait one, please. Discuss and consider approving a request for a concept plan referred to as the Morstatter subdivision on property described as Meadow Acres, Block 5, Lot 9, McDonald's Mobile Home Park, generally located at 205 West Beeline Lane, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. And again, this item, the engineer for Morstatter concept plan case has withdrawn that case. Therefore, the council will not take any action, and it's being removed from the agenda. Okay, I think we have someone. I think we'll back up since somebody wasn't able to come in on the presentations by citizens. So, Gary, who do we have?
The telephone caller.
My name's Philip Tawoka.
Yes, sir. If you'll please go ahead, and we've already got your name and your address for the record. If you'll please go ahead and state your case, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Yes, I'm calling regarding my car wash. Wanted to know why Parker Heights is targeting my car wash, and why that the state says what I'm doing is fine, and I want to know why Mark Hyde, why he is harassing me on my car wash, and when he told the state, well, he told me that if the state said it was fine with him, it was fine with him. You know what I mean? And so I just want to know why he's targeting me and harassing me at my car wash, and when the state says what I'm doing is fine. I just want to know why they're doing that, and why is it every time I try to get something done, he's always rejecting me, and then everybody else gets it. Just like Top Frog got to extend his building all the way to the road, I couldn't do it. Got a driveway, I couldn't do it. And then that new AC guy, they told me I had to be all brick, but yet he got to do half brick in the front, got all the way out to the road. And I think I know what's going on, because I still ain't got the answer yet. I still want to know why he told me, why don't you just sell the car wash? And I think I know what's going on. I think he's trying to run me out of Parker Heights, just like he did Paul Ball when they auctioned all of his places out due to continuous fines over meaningless things, while everybody else is doing everything illegal and he ain't doing nothing about it, but yet he's going to target me. So I want to know why that he, still to this day, he ain't answered me. Why did he tell me, why don't you just sell the car wash? And so I want to know what's going on that aspect, and I want to know why that he told Eric Moore if the state says what you're doing is fine, why don't you get it in writing, then it's all right with us. So I want to know why he went back on his word on that. I gave you a little copy, a little reason why, you know, my explanation, what was going on with the car wash. And so that's why I'm calling today, to find out why Harker Heights targeted me on something like this when the state says it's fine with them. And not only that, my car wash is a septic tank. It's not no way we can bring the city council or whoever we need to bring over there. They can see it. It's a septic tank. It's nothing would ever go in that drain the way they designed it back in the days. I don't, you know, back in the 60s or 70s. But all I got to say is that, you know what I mean, I don't know why he's doing it. And, if you know what I mean, whatever we need to do to get this problem resolved, I'm ready to get it resolved. But I think if, you know, I don't know what's wrong with, used to be David Mitchell, me and him, you know, he would call me, I would call him, you know, try to get something. Now he's not even returning my calls. And I just want to see what we can do to get this problem resolved. If not, then I guess we'll have to go to court you know, I mean, I guess we'll have to subpoena everybody, because I don't see how it's fair that Top Frog can build a building all the way out to the road and get a driveway on Amy, and I couldn't do it. And then that new AC can do it, put a, you know, build it all the way out to the road, and I couldn't do it. And then not only that, it, you have, and it had to be brick and stucco all the way. That was the rules in the city of Hawker Heights. You build a new construction building, it had to be brick and stucco. I had to do it, but yet that AC guy didn't have to do it. They told me I couldn't come out the road, had to follow all the way, all the houses, all the property had to follow the line, but yet he let him do it. And then I don't know why he's, you know, doing this, but I think I know what's going on. I think he's trying to do what y'all did to Paul Ball, the city of Hawker Heights is.
And Mr. Suoka, if you just stay on point, I think we've got it. We're over 3 minutes already. And okay. We understand your issue is dealing with the car wash. And again, Mr. Mitchell and the city staff is here. The mayor and the council have heard your concerns. And again, that they'll address that and they'll be in touch with you to bring clarity to this issue for you. Thank you for your comments.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for letting me talk.
Yes, sir. Okay. Do we have anybody else, Gary, anybody else that wants to speak on presentations by citizens?
If there's any other callers that would like to make a presentation to the city council, please unmute your mic at this time. Telephone callers can press *6.
Okay, we'll move on back to new business, paragraph 9, and we'll look at item number 2. Discuss and consider approving a request for a preliminary plat referred to as the McGill property on property described as 3.731 acres of land situated in the Lucy D. Odell survey, abstract number 644, and the H.R. Morrell survey, abstract number 579. Being a portion of the remainder of a called 490.1 acre tract conveyed to James Dennis McGill in volume 1177, page 145, deed records of Bell County, Texas, generally located within the 3000 block of Stillhouse Lake Road, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is Christina Ramirez, the Planning and Development Director. Tonight before you, you have a recommendation for denial of a preliminary plat submitted by Dennis McGill for the McGill subdivision. It is proposed to consist of two commercial lots with frontage along Stillhouse Lake Road. The property is currently zoned B4, Secondary Highway Business District, for commercial endeavors. Staff has reviewed the submitted preliminary plat and drainage plans and have made comments to address safety, floodplain, drainage, utilities, TxDOT access, and other pertinent requirements to ensure that all development regulations stipulated in the City of Harker Heights Code of Ordinances will be adhered to. On January 27th, 2021, the Planning and Zoning Commission voted 8-0 to deny the request for the preliminary plat referred to as the McGill property. Due to the quantity and type of outstanding items, staff recommended disapproval to the Planning and Zoning Commission of the submitted plat. As of February 2nd, at the time of these comments, staff comments still had not been addressed. We spoke to the applicant's representatives, both the surveyor as well as the engineer, this afternoon, and revisions and items to address the outstanding comments still have not been submitted to the city. Before you tonight, you do have a motion to approve with conditions, or disapprove with explanation of this preliminary plat. Please note that in order for a preliminary plat to be approved within the city of Harker Heights, we do have to have TxDOT's approval as well. And TxDOT did submit in a letter of disapproval for this particular preliminary plat. And I do believe we have the applicant's engineer on the line if you would like to speak with her.
Okay, and we'll get to that in just a second. Council, any questions for the Planning and Development Director? I guess Mayor Smith, I just have one question for you, or just one clarification. Again, like the item that we withdrew earlier on that request, understand we have not received a formal request to withdraw withdraw this.
That is correct. They, the surveyor of record did request that we postpone discussion of it, but due to changes in state law, we are not allowed to postpone it. So we have to take action on it if it's not withdrawn.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and again, is there any questions? Councilmember Nicholas, do you have any questions for the Planning and Development Director?
No, I do not, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, do we have someone on the phone that wants to speak to this item?
It should be Lena Chate.
Okay, again, we're just, again, it is new business, but again, considering the gravity of the issue there, we figured give them an opportunity. Okay, so we do not have anyone representing the case to speak then.
If there's a representative of the for this case that would like to address this, please unmute your mic at this time.
Okay, it's new business to have a motion from the council. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Reading the motion here, just to get clarification, disapprove with explanation. We don't have to have an explanation to disapprove, do we?
We do, based off the new state law that put the 30-day shot clock window on there. We are also supposed to be disapproving with an explanation. The Planning and Zoning Commission, for their explanation, indicated that it did not comply with City of Harker Heights Code of Ordinances.
Okay. So I'll make a motion then to disapprove with an explanation that this action does not meet and comply with the City of Harker Heights ordinances or what I understand is state law as well. And I request for the preliminary plat referred to as the McGill property on property described as 3.731 acres of land situated in the Lucy D. Odell survey, abstract number 644, and the H.R. Morrell survey, abstract number 579, being a portion of the remainder of a called 490.1 acre tract conveyed to James Dennis McGill in volume 1177, page 145, deed records of Bell County, Texas, generally located within the 3000 block of Stillhouse Lake Road, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Nash.
Linda Nash, place four. I second that motion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion to deny passes unanimously 5-0. Next item under new business, number three. Discuss and consider approving one of four options or a hybrid thereof as presented in the 2020 slant 2021 transit study of organizational structure for the Hill County, the Hill Country Transit District, and take the appropriate action, Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is Christina Ramirez, the Planning and Development Director. Last week, you received a presentation from the consultant on this project that was hired by the City of Temple, as well as the participants within the Hill Country Transit District. As you may recall, the Hill Country Transit District serves a 9-county area, which is the rural subdivision, as well as the Clean Urbanized Division and the Temple Urbanized Division. The staff representing each of these entities did meet last on January 14th, 2021 to discuss the potential options presented by the consultant. The consultant provided four particular options. The first option was to leave the structure as is and make changes only at the local level with with the hiring of a new general manager for the transit district. The second option would be to create two transit districts who could, in fact, depending on a future study, utilize the same personnel to run the districts together, but it would create an urban transit district and a rural transit district. Option three included not only the urban transit district, a rural transit district, as well as a rural one specifically for Bell County. And then the fourth option was a little bit higher and was not further discussed by staff at that time. It seemed to be that it was one that was way further out there. So the first three options were presented. The recommendation from some of the staff indicated that we should proceed with looking into a new hiring a new general manager and developing revisions to the existing MOU that we have with them to see if changes could be made on that front, and then if they didn't, to proceed with option two. Some of the staff recommended a cross between option two and option three. And with that, it would look more at what would we do with Bell County. Again, Bell County traditionally has not been serviced the same as the other counties, and so option two does not address that inequality in service between Bell County and the rest of the counties, but it does set us up to look at it in the future. What option two does bring forward is the equal representation of our urbanized areas to our rural areas. As you know, currently all of the counties are represented by someone, but there is a limited number of seats on that board, and so we are even though we provide as urban districts the majority of the funding, we do not have an equal say in the voice for that. Therefore, we were looking at an organizational structure that may be possible. So what you have before you tonight is two different options where we're seeking your guidance on and your recommendation. The first is which way to direct our consultant. Part of her contract is to prepare an alternative implementation scenario beyond option one. So for options two, three, or four, to prepare a scenario that if we choose to go that route at some point in the future, we could follow that outline or guidance. And so she needs a direction in order to finish out her contract. The second part is a recommendation for you of which of the four options we are leaning more towards looking into. Please note that this is not anything that would put us into that option concrete. It is a direction for us to proceed to continue on to look at the feasibility of the implementation of that option to see if we really want to go that way. So at this point, it is all strictly conceptual and finishing out a contract as well. And so with that, I am open for any questions you may have in regards to the options and the request for actions before you.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Smith. And again, we discussed this quite thoroughly at our workshop where Ms. Edmondson was able to provide her presentation to us. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Christina, I know we talked a lot about this, like the mayor just said. Did she come back, Ms. Edmondson, and give you any costs associated with any of those options?
She did not. That was not part of her current contract, and this is just the conceptual stage of looking at an alternative in the future.
Okay, and you did state that, you know, we're not going to incur any costs to Harker Heights with any of the options we pick because this is part of her study. Is that correct?
This is solely a study, yes.
Okay, because, you know, I'm still concerned that, you know, if we choose, you know, two, three, or four further down the road, you know, we have current option one right now running. You know, we can make improvements to that at no cost, obviously, to us. So that's kind of like the do-nothing approach. But options two, three, and four, I'm still concerned with what would be the potential future costs for Harker Heights. I know the mayor talked about other partners that they had not talked to yet, but, you know, we're just one of the players that would participate in this transportation endeavor. So I'm still concerned about the costs associated with, you know, picking two, three, or four, even though there's no cost right now to us. But, you know, why would we want to develop a plan that's going to sign us up for potentially down the road for a larger bill, especially when we don't know who all the actual players are or if some of the bigger players are not even going to participate in this? That's my only concern.
Okay. Councilmember McCann.
I have a few things on feedback, but I do agree with Mr. Blomquist. One of the things that we both asked about were if we had any idea of cost comparison, it would help make a decision overall. And I know option two seemed to be the most cost-effective out of all of them, according to what she had said. So if we had to pick a preliminary direction, option two looks to be something we'd have more control over. But at the same time, it's still hard to make an uninformed decision. So as a concept, I would say leaning towards the second option. And then again, on the part where they were looking at getting a general manager and getting that feedback and that expertise, that's not a part of what the decision is we're making now, correct? Because that would be a game changer for me. I mean, a general manager should have full input on the direction of where it goes.
Absolutely. The consultant did mention that that would be a small change that could occur within option one. It is wait and see. And that is what has staff had discussed is possibly proceeding with option one, and but having option two as a backup.
I would go with that.
Okay. Council, if I might as well.
Yeah, please.
What we're talking about here is important to note, I think, that we're talking about organizational structure, what it will look like down the road. Not immediately. Just because we say this tonight doesn't mean the structure changes. So it's not really tied to cost. That whatever the new organization is will have the input in how the district operates. Right now, the way it sits, you have the rural counties definitely have a leg up in terms of how they control that board. And that's a real problem we feel for the urban areas. So y'all asked me if I would reach out to Colleen, and we are a little bit ahead of them in terms of where they are in discussions with it. But in talking with their city manager, we, him and I both agreed that that is something that we think must be remedied in whatever structure we move to, is that the urban areas need to have an equal say or a strong amount of say in that, or representation in that, versus the way it sits right now. So he doesn't know which way his council may feel on the options, but he feels pretty certain that they would want to have the cities having a stronger voice in terms of how we provide transit in the area. Again, this is talking about organization. This is not getting down in the weeds of how you would implement it. The organization would then sit down and determine that. And also remember that just like now, when the Hill Country Transit District breaks up their fees, they send that to you, so you get that. If you remember, that was the big issue that we had the 1 year where it was going to almost double for the city, and we could not find the funds. And if you remember, council dropped back to what they did the previous year, and that is what we put in. So you will still have a final say even when fees come down. If your budget will not support it, then there will have to be some negotiations with that body again about what your what you can afford as a city. So I want to make sure I'm clear about that. This is not, you're not locking yourself into some kind of cost structure down the road. This is about organization, having an equal number of people at the table to represent those cities, so that, you know, the counties like it. The rural counties, has been mentioned, they like the service they're getting. So they're just sitting there going, this is good, this is good, this is good. Well, we in the urban areas have expressed some issues with service in certain areas, but they're like, no, it's good for us, it's good for us. And they have more votes than the municipal governments do. So it's always going to be hard under the current structure to make any kind of changes associated with that. Now, granted, changes could result in more costs, but you still will get that opportunity to look at that bill when it comes in and decide if you can fund that or not.
Okay. This is Mayor Smith. I've got a question for you, the Planning and Development Director. Just some background on this. I don't think that the presenter addresses what was the genesis of this and why they how'd this thing get started as far as the structure?
As this is Christina Ramirez, Planning and Development Director. As Mr. Mitchell indicated, it was more about feedback from the municipalities about the unequal representation and the additional costs that were being funded by the municipalities versus the rural areas. And so there was some discussions brought forward as part of this study, how the nexus came back down to communication, which we believe will improve with the hiring of a new general manager, but it still doesn't solve the problem of misrepresentation, or not unequal, I should say. There you go. Okay. Right, wrong word there.
So the previous manager, was that Carol Warlick? So they didn't replace her?
I believe that is correct, Mayor. I don't think they have anybody in that seat currently. That is an open position. I think that everybody is on board with they need to bring somebody on to be that representative from Hill Country to have the further discussions on this. But I think it's important to note, as we talked about before, our money was going up, but that was not an increase of service for Harker Heights residents. We're actually going to see a little bit of a diminishment, which we did anyway, with the number of routes they had in Harker Heights, even though you were going to almost double up what you're paying in. That's when the city said, time out. We're seeing this thing jump up almost double, but we're actually seeing service diminish. And so, you know, that's when I think that was kind of the main genesis of, we got to take a look at this to see, is there a better way?
Okay. So as far as the city of Harker Heights, I mean, as far as our concerns are, the way we're established here with the routes that we have, that's more focused on urban. I mean, other than representation on the board, do we really have a dog in the fight as far as rural service? Does that really impact the city of Harker Heights at all?
The rural service in Bell County is not something that directly impacts us. It is for medical only, and it's an on-call, on-demand service. So it is, the services here in Bell County, as I indicated, are different than with the other counties. So the majority of ours is urbanized.
Okay. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. My question to Christina is, so all the cities are having input on this action for the for our rep. So are we the first ones to decide which action we're going to take on this course?
My understanding is that the city of Temple will meet this week on this particular action. The city of Coppers Cove had a workshop on it last week, and to my knowledge did not reach a decision. They may have, and I'm just not privy to it. And the city of Killeen has not had their meeting yet. Bell County did have a meeting as well, but unfortunately I was unable to determine follow up with them.
So what's a course of action if everybody votes different?
So at the staff meeting, it is a simple majority is what the consultant has been directed to proceed with. And so we are hoping that we're able to talk with and talk amongst ourselves, but it will be a simple majority to guide the consultant.
Okay, Councilmember Nash.
Linda Nash, place four. So although I appreciate the study that the consultant did, and she had the Killeen district, I'm really interested to find out Harker Heights specifically, how it affects us, and have that actually in a study. I know she stated that with the stakeholders that they talk to elected officials. I don't think that one was a good choice. You have to get the people who are actually using the public transportation to find out what their problems are. And I think that our issues in Harker Heights for our citizens are a little bit more unique than the other cities that are around. So that would be something that I want to find out before I would go ahead with it.
And if I may provide just a little bit of background, this is Christina Ramirez, the Planning and Development Director. We did specifically discuss some of those issues in the staff meeting, and the representation and for how it impacts our citizens. At this point in the game, or in the study, I should say, this part in the study process, the input was sought from the municipalities, the judges, the elected officials, because it would be something behind the scenes. No matter which option we go with, it would be seamless for the public. And so at that point in time, with whatever type of overall guidance structure that we recommend, as we get then into the next phase, which is implementation, is it feasible? How are we going to get there? What do we need? At that point, there would be a lot of public hearings, a lot of public input.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Christine, I'm going to ask you first, but then I want David to answer too. Based on your professional expertise on dealing with transportation issues and your purview or your overview of what these presentations are showing, the pluses and the minus, what recommendation? I mean, you said two and three, you heard from the staff discussions, but what one would you recommend?
So I did make a recommendation to Mr. Mitchell as well as the other staff members that I thought two would be a good baseline start for us to proceed with, one to have as a backup. I recommend that we looked at option one solidly first, and then if that doesn't work, that we move to option two, with the understanding that option two could be expanded upon in the future should we so choose.
All right, and Mr. Mitchell?
I concur with Christina's recommendation on that after reviewing all this. Again, it's important to remember that we're talking about structure and getting representation at the table. I really like what Councilmember Nash brought up as in terms of getting stakeholder input. But like it is, as it sits right now with the board that you have there, even if we get input and we carry it to that board, you're still going to have mostly county looking at it going, we're happy in the county. So I think there has to be some organizational change so that we can have more of a hammer, for lack of a better word, there to push across the issues that we're facing in the urban areas. So.
Good. Councilmember McCann.
They just answered.
You're good. Okay. Councilmember Nicholas, do you have a question for the Planning and Development Director?
Yes. I believe that Judge Blackburn and the county judge's deadline was the 19th of February to decide on this study. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, that is correct.
Okay. And I'm between option one and option two as well. That's basically where I'm at. I mean, there's good and bad. We don't know if we'll need some of the services as much that would increase our expenses. So I think maybe option one would be the one to stay with.
Okay, thank you. Again, this is Mayor Smith. And again, we've got this before us. We've got a city council meeting right now. As you can see, there's a lot of different dates, a lot of different meeting for other municipalities and county government. So again, we've got this issue before us as new business tonight. And again, we've had discussions between the municipalities on how things are tracking. But I think it would be prudent for us to go ahead and move forward with at least one option tonight. Okay, Councilmember McCann.
Yeah, go ahead and make a motion.
Just hold on, you'll be first. Okay, any other questions for the Planning and Development Director? Okay, Councilmember McCann.
Thank you, Mayor. With all things being considered at this point in the process, I'd like to make a motion to approve option number two based on the recommendations that we've heard tonight for the City of Harker Heights on the Hill Country Transit District Study.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fontaine.
This is Councilwoman Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I would like to second, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item on the agenda under new business is item number four, discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, authorizing an application for a grant through the General Victims Assistance Direct Services Program in the amount of $18,452.20 to fund improvements to the Harker Heights Police Department's Healthy Homes Program, authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city and take the appropriate action. Police Chief.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Phil Gadd, Chief of Police. I come before you tonight with members of my staff to ask your consideration in approving six grants this evening. These grants will help facilitate our services to our community. The first grant is out of the General Victims Assistance Direct Services Program. This grant would allow $18,452.20 to assist our Healthy Homes program in providing services to our community. As a refresher, I want to remind you that the Healthy Homes program assists not only the victims of crime and witnesses of crime, but assists them through the criminal justice process. They also provide assistance to individuals and families who are in need within our community. Just this year, we've worked in hand-in-hand with some of our partners in the community, a local thrift shop to provide clothing and household items for families who have fled a crisis situation, working closely with the food banks, local counseling clinics to provide mental health assistance for individuals grieving the loss of a family member, or counseling for other mental problems. The resources for the victims include crisis counseling, emergency shelters, clothing and food resources, assistance in filing with state programs, and referral to other agencies that they may or may not be aware of. Earlier this year, we did a school drive to help our kids. We worked through the city's library system, as well as the public, where we were able to assist 32 children with school supplies and backpacks. In January, we worked with the local church to provide them with information and educate them about our Healthy Homes program and the victim services we can provide. As a thank you, the church donated 75 hygiene kits for individuals in our community. In April, the Healthy Homes program created a food bank. We realized that the food banks in our surrounding area don't work after hours or on weekends, but there are families that needed this substance, so we set one up within the police department. In May, we added a youth services specialist to our team. That will be the next grant that I talk to you about. Our youth services specialist targets at-youth risk population. They're able to get them counseling, they're able to talk about drug addiction, they're able to provide services to those youths. In October, we established the Take Me Home program. This program assisted individuals who are found in Harker Heights that are unable to communicate with us. Either they can't verbally communicate or they have a fear of law enforcement or a fear of public servants. And in doing so, we put a band on their hands. If you remember, we brought that program to you at that time. This is another added benefit that we have in our Healthy Homes program. In November, we worked with a Rotary Club and fed 10 families who are clients of the Healthy Homes program. In addition, Harker Heights residents were able to take advantage of the MASK program. That was a program that the assistant city manager and Councilwoman Nash wanted us to push, and we did. And that bag consisted of hygiene products to include masks, hand sanitizers, gloves, soap, bandages, alcohol preps, and thermometers. This Healthy Homes program has served approximately 400 citizens in the Harker Heights area just last year. Again, this grant would provide an additional $18,452.20, with $3,690.44 representing the personal cost contributions for a in-kind match, not a cash match, so there would be no cost to the city on that. At this time, I'm here to answer any questions you may have, as well as our Healthy Homes coordinator, Angel Carroll.
Okay, any questions from the council? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Chief, I just wanted to say this is an outstanding program here, and y'all do outstanding work across the city and with the also with the partners throughout Bell County. Y'all work hand in hand with a lot of agencies that provide this assistance, and this is very worthy of this this grant here. I just had one quick question. It's on this one and the next one also, but it says the grant packet has not been submitted to the Office of the Governor. Is that just a required statement there?
Yes, it is, because we go before our council to seek your approval before we submit any grants.
Okay.
We could submit it now, but we'd rather know we have the support of our council and not waste anyone's time in doing that type of work.
All right. Like I said, great work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from the council for the police chief on this item? Okay, hearing none, it's new business to have a motion. Councilmember Fontaine.
This is Councilmember Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I would like to move to approve a resolution authorizing an application for a grant through the General Victims Assistance Direct Service Program in the amount of $18,452.20, including in-kind match and no cash match, and authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Councilmember Nash, do you have any further discussion?
No,
okay. Okay, hearing no further discussion on the item, I'll go ahead and poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four, of course. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item, number five, under new business, discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, authorizing the city's grant application in the General Victim Assistance Direct Services Program through the Juvenile Justice and Truancy Prevention Grant Program for funding in the amount of $10,000 toward improvements to the Harker Heights Police Department's Healthy Homes Program, authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city and take the appropriate action. Police Chief.
Phil Gadd, Chief of Police. Again, we come before you to ask your approval in applying for a grant through the Juvenile Justice and Truancy Prevention Grant Program. This grant would be in the amount of $10,000. That was the minimum amount we could ask for. And because it's a new program, we wanted to make sure that we could take advantage of that amount of money. The program to date has handled over 350 referrals to counseling type events in juveniles. That $10,000 is a no in-kind match or cash match. It is straight $10,000 if we were awarded that grant. This program would allow the assistance of our Healthy Homes to prevent violence in schools and in the community. It will enable us to assist with enhancing the juvenile justice system and coordinate with those entities. It would advocate for the at-risk juveniles needing mental health services, truancy prevention, and intervention through the community-based and school programs. This would also allow them to seek counseling for the difficulties in actually being a juvenile, as well as substance abuse. Again, we would ask the council for any consideration on this, and I'm here if I have any questions. Again, Angel Carroll is available for additional questions.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Any questions from the council for the chief? Councilmember Nash.
Linda Nash, place four. I just have one thing, Chief. So in the school to prison pipeline, I believe that this particular thing would help with preventing a lot of that as far as truancy and delinquencies of our minors. And I just have one question. What was the maximum amount that you could apply for?
Don't recall that, Ms. Carroll. For some reason, I think it was $250,000, but I'm not sure. We're also competing with much larger agencies than what we have, but at this time, I only have one juvenile assistant helping Ms. Carroll, and we thought that would probably put them at the limit with working all of our other Healthy Homes activities.
Is it a yearly grant?
Yes, ma'am.
So next year, when we get it this time, then we can apply for more?
Yes, ma'am. These are continuation grants. The initial grant that Healthy Homes that you approved, that is our fourth grant we've received in that cycle. So what it does, we're allowed to hang on to that original grant and continue on with your approval. Again, this, we hope we can do the same thing.
Thank you.
All right, anything else from the council? Any questions for the chief? Okay, it's new business to have a motion from the council. Councilmember Nash.
I would like to make it. Councilmember Nash, place four. I would like a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the city's application in the General Victim Assistance Direct Services Program through the Juvenile Justice and Truancy Prevention Grant Program for funding in the amount of $10,000, including in-kind match and no cash match, towards improvements to the Harker Heights Police Department's Healthy Homes Program, and authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a second? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'll second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fontaine, do you have a comment at all? Okay, thank you. Okay, and the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Item number six under new business. Discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, authorizing the city's participation in the Homeland Security Grant Program for funding of $40,239 towards the purchase of tactical medical kits for the Special Weapons and Tactics SWAT team and mass casualty first aid kits, authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city and take the appropriate action. Police Chief.
Again, Mayor and Council, this is our third grant that we want to present to you for your approval. It is a Homeland Security Grant Program in the amount of $40,239. One of the changes they made this year is we must compete nationally for Homeland Security grants, so this one may be a little bit more difficult for us to achieve. However, Lieutenant Bullard, who is our SWAT team commander, did a very nice job presenting the grant. The tactical medical supplies and kits we're asking for background, we have one pack that our SWAT team currently utilizes. Although it's aged, we have kept it with, been able to update it with current equipment. And in saying that, we work with the fire department. We have tactical medics on our SWAT team, and to have three bags and put them in all of our units that could be deployed to a mass casualty scene or to an area where more than one hot zone or an area where it's still an active shooter situation would need to be contained. The contents are intended to stabilize the injured until they can be evacuated to a warm scene where the fire department paramedics would be stationed. The grant for the three SWAT medic kits would greatly expand our current tactical medical capabilities, and we're also applying for those three mass casualty first aid kits. Those kits contain 10 individual first aid kits inside them. Those have two tourniquets in it. They have the chest seal, the combat gauze, the compression wraps, and what they're designed to do is as the officers are trying to engage an active shooter, whether it's in a school, a mall, an open field, we're allowed to stop. We can't stop and render first aid at that time to each individual we may pass, because our goal at that time is to neutralize the situation. So as they go by these people, we can drop these individual first aid kits off with them so they can at least maybe, hopefully, work on themselves as a self-aid or a buddy aid system. We've applied for these grants before through Firehouse Subs, and we're not successful in doing that. So in the meantime, we have been trying to work up our medical capabilities with the fire department and with what we've been able to acquire. This is not a necessary or a have-to item. It's not a critical item we need at this time. It's an item we'd like to have in case something of this nature or magnitude could happen. The grant would provide, again, a total of $40,239, and again, there is no requirement for a cash or in-kind match from the city. At this time, I am welcome to question, as is Lieutenant Bullard, our SWAT team commander.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Chief, you state that you're competing nationally now, so...
On this particular type of
grant. I recognize that, you know, the good thing is, you know, you have opportunity to compete for it, but, you know, if you don't ask for it, you definitely won't get it. So,
correct.
You know, it's good that you're applying for things, you know, and you answered part of my second question was, you know, is this equipment, you know, mission essential type thing? So I'm pretty sure the council, if you came before us and said, you know, if you reassess and decide, hey, we might really want to, you don't need three, but maybe we do need one at least, please come back to the council if you don't get this grant, because I'm sure the council will support the police in making sure you're fully operational with the equipment you need to perform your mission, okay?
I appreciate that. I have been working with Mr. Mitchell, and he understands our needs, and we have the necessary equipment at this time. We're just trying to make sure if a real tragic, massive mass casualty situation were to arise, we could be prepared as well as assist our neighbors. We've been involved in the shootings on Fort Hood and some of the natural disasters that have also occurred in the area. So we're trying to increase our responsive capabilities.
That's great news. Thank you.
Councilmember Nash.
Councilmember Nash, place four. Chief, if the items inside the kits are used, do you have to purchase a new kit, or is it just the items that are used?
Just the items that are used, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council for the police chief? This is Mayor Smith. Chief, just one thing you alluded to again, this is grant money, but again, as far as your prioritization for the police department as you set that up, that's something that you provide during our budget cycle and working through the city manager as far as the no kidding 1, 2, 3 as far as your priorities. These are other things that are there with the monies that are available. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is. The due date for these grants seems to be coming earlier and earlier every year, so we'd rather ask for it in the hopes we can get that rather than put it into our grant or into our budget at the time.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the council? Okay, it's new business to have a motion. Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to make a motion, thank you, Mayor, to approve a resolution authorizing the city's participation in the Homeland Security Grant Program for funding of $40,239 towards the purchase of tactical medical kits for the SWAT team and mass casualty first aid kits with no cash or in-kind match, and authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. I would like to second. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. The next item under new business, number seven. Discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harkrights, Texas, authorizing the city's participation in the grant program administered by the Central Texas Council of Governments through the Office of the Governor of Texas for funding $23,774.96 toward the purchase of 8 Harris XL-185P P-25 compliant police communication handheld radios. Authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city and take the appropriate action. Police Chief.
Again, Mayor and Council, this is our fourth grant to present to you. It is a grant program administered through the Council of Governments, Central Texas Council of Governments, through the Office of the Governor. We're asking through this grant to purchase 8 P-25 compliant radios. The importance of these P-25 radios, it is a standard development process for the design, the manufacture, the evaluation of interoperability, digital, two-way mobile radio communication systems. It is a communication product that has now got a congressional mandate that all first responders, public safety, medics, fire departments are P-25 compliant. They're still working on achieving that because a lot of our rural fire departments don't have that type of capability. But because of these standards, it allows us to communicate to all law enforcement that may be responding. The best example I can give of having a breakdown in interoperability was when West Texas had the explosion. They had hundreds of police officers and firemen and paramedics responding to that location with no idea where the command post was, where the actual explosion occurred, and it was chaos for several hours until they could get that under control. through the P25 compliant radio system, we're able to speak with all those agencies and have that interoperability. The reason we're asking for those 8 radios is 2 years ago, we submitted a grant to the Council of Governments, but the best way we could get the radios, according to the Bell County Communication, was to have the county purchase them under that grant in totality, but reserve them for special units. They received the grant, and 11 of those radios were signed over to us so that our SWAT team has those type of radios, but they actually still belong to the county. We are down to having one radio that, as a backup, I still have 3 positions that I need to fill, so I'm short some radios at this time. We can make do with what we have, but if we have other radios go down, it is a concern and a problem for us. If these radios are not achievable through this grant, they will come back on the grant so that I can make sure that all my officers have these type of radios for communication. The new radios would have a warranty with them. They would be the newest style. Harris is the radio that we choose to use because it's compatible with everything we have, to include all the earpieces, all the mics, all the extra components and batteries that we have in supply. Eventually, we will have to buy additional components. The earpieces and the mics do not have a long life with the officers wearing them 10 hours a day. They have a tendency to lose the fiber optics and the cables, so we do replace those on a frequent basis. The batteries also, when they're used in that time period, we issue a second battery to all the officers, and again, that's we build that into our budgets. We have that covered as well, but we would incur that with the purchase of these. We're also the possibility of looking at the CARES Act if necessary, but this is an item that will be in our budget if the grant does not work for us at this time. The funding amount requested is $23,774.96 and does not require a match from the city of Harker Heights. Lieutenant Randy Stefik is our traffic lieutenant, and he maintains our radio supplies and our equipment. If you have any questions of either of us.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I don't want to troubleshoot you too much on the technical aspects of these radios, but I'm curious, are these all line of sight radios, correct?
They'll hit repeaters.
Okay, so your police vehicle will repeat and it will transport on to, or however, it's like a node-to-node connectivity?
That's my understanding, Lieutenant.
Didn't mean to troubleshoot you, Chief,
no,
on the...
No, that's fine.
Good evening, Council. Lieutenant Randy Stefik, Harker Heights Police Department. To answer your question, the Bell County network system, it's on a 800 megahertz trunking system, and they're moving from the conventional EDEX radio programming to the P25, which is the new digital format that's compliant nationally. It is on a network that is repeaters and so forth like that, but it doesn't really base off of your car, your mobile unit. There's more power in those units per se to hit further targets, but the handhelds themselves will have interoperability off of any tower that's within the Bell County range. The P25 compliance part allows us to operate in other jurisdictions as well on different sidebands that those radios are programmed to operate under, which offers us that interoperability with other agencies nationally.
So with these Harris radios, are you fully confident that you could relay communications anywhere in Harker Heights?
Absolutely, so long as the infrastructure that Bell County has provided that we contract with Bell County Communications Center, as long as they maintain that network of towers and that service, yes, sir, we would have that interoperability within the city of Harker Heights. Last I checked here in our city, we don't even have any dead zones for radios anymore. They've upgraded a lot of the tower locations and so forth to cover some of those gaps that we previously had years ago.
So you're not going to have to stand on one leg and hold the radio up?
I sure hope not.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Councilmember Nash.
Councilmember Nash, place 4. I just wanted to say thank you, Chief, for the forward thinking that you have to make sure that all of our residents are safe. I appreciate that.
Thank you, ma'am.
Councilmember Fontaine.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I just want to say, Chief, your team is doing a great job. Thank you for all you do. And you've studied your council, and you know as well. So we'll see you at the budget.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, any other questions for the Chief? So, Mayor Smith, I know that with my time as a member of CITCOG, we've been they've been dealing with this issue for a number of years to try to bring this commonality. And another part of it is you talk about interoperability. You're not only talking just to Parker Heights, but as far as the support that you provide to Bell County, to Belton, to Killeen, so everybody's getting on board with the same radios, okay? Does the COG have something set up, though, or is it to the local municipalities, though, for as they get this this equipment for maintenance and for spares?
I was able to acquire some vehicle radios from the Department of Public Safety, and if they acquire any system through Bell County, they get a lot of the state equipment. They're more than generous with us if we needed some of that. We have some of that in reserve if we have to backfill. And Randy may be able to answer other questions on some of the handhelds.
I think that's fairly accurate as well. The concern that we're having now is that the fleet of radios that we have, both mobile and handheld, are being aged. Typically, the expected lifespan of these devices are roughly 5 years, especially when they're going through the trenches on daily activity. Some of our fleet is pushing over 10 years of age, and so we're starting to see an increase in financial obligations for maintenance and repairs and so forth to keep those operational on the network. We've recently, I'd have to go back and pull the numbers, but I want to say we recently decommissioned close to 15 or 20 older radios that would not be on the P25 compliant network. And so therefore we're holding on to those, and from a financial aspect through our vendor, we're able to obtain credits into the purchase of a new P25 compliant radio. So we're using that for extra, you know, perks, if you will, for those new purchases. But we have to upgrade our infrastructure, if you will, on the radios.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the council? Okay, Mr. New Business, do I have a motion? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the city's participation in the grant program administered Central Texas Council of Governments, Officer of the Governor, for funding of $23,774.96 towards the purchase of 8 new Harris XL-185 HAPA P25 compliant police handheld communication radio systems and accessories with no requirement for cash or in-kind match, and authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, Jennifer McCann, Place 1, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, Place 1, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, Place 4, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, Place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, Place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. We're going to take a pause in the action. The time is now 6:09, and we're going to go ahead into recess for a little while, and stay tuned. We'll be back.